morning. Welcome to worship here at Greystone. We are so glad that you have joined us. Greystone is a family where all are welcome. Whatever you do in your profession or in your spare time, we are glad to welcome you and are glad that you are here. We love having you join us here online. You can also join us in our sanctuary at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings for in-person worship or outdoors on the first Sunday of every month. We are so excited that we can worship together in so many ways during this unique season. We are still in the season of Easter, the season of Eastertide. It is the time when we remember and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It is a time when those who followed Jesus and walked with him were still trying to figure out their new normal. They weren't real sure what was going to happen and what was to come. They were learning more and more their responsibility and their joy to spread God's love to all whom they encountered and to do it on their own, to do it with the Holy Spirit there by their side, but to do it without Jesus walking physically alongside of them. It was a time of new learning. It was a time of realizing that the things that Jesus had told them before did indeed come true. It was a way of them realizing that even death couldn't stop the love of God from being present with them. As we live into this Eastertide, let us remember the same thing. Let us remember that nothing can stop us from sharing the love of God with those around us. Nothing can stop us from worshiping together, and nothing can stop us from being the family of God here on earth. Let us worship together this morning.
We are starting again, though we bear the weight of all through which we've been. As we journey down this road, we are called to carry on and share the load. How then shall we gather? How then shall we lament? How then shall we hope?
Good to see you. I don't know if you know this or not, but over the season of Lent, I sent Mom and Dad all kinds of book ideas for you to read. I have another one. This one is called This is the Church by Sarah Raymond Cunningham, and it's illustrated by Ariel Landy. It's a really cool book. It says, This is the Church. It talks about this fun story that I learned when I was your age. I wonder if you can do it with me. We have to use our hands to tell the story. Let's try. We're gonna put our hands together like this. Okay, here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. Oops, where's all the people? Let's try again. This time, we're gonna put our fingers in like this. We're gonna close it up like this. Ready? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. There's all the people. Like, we did it. There's all the people. That is a really cool thing to do with your hands and a good way to remember that the people are the church. This book really helps you remember that. It talks about how the people are the most important part of a church. It's not the walls. It's not even the steeple. The most important thing about the church, what makes the church who it really is the people. We've learned that a lot this year, haven't we? We've learned that we can worship together even when we're not in our sanctuary. We've learned that we can do missions together even though we're all spread out all over Raleigh and lots of other places too. There are lots of things that we can do as a church just because we love Jesus. Now, we love being in our sanctuary, and we love being outside on our campus, and we love coming together and being the church that we remember before COVID. But I want you to remember that a church is made up of people. Yeah, the walls are kind of cool to have, but the most important thing are the people, and that's exactly what the church is, and that's what this book is all about. I hope that you will get this book and check it out on your Kindle, or you can buy it. It is such a fun book that talks about all the different ways that people worship and how some people worship in their homes and some people worship outside and some people worship in a building, and sometimes those buildings look like ours and sometimes they look really different. But there are lots and lots of ways that we can be church. The most important part is that we love Jesus and that we love each other. So I hope that you will remember when you do my fun little game where we do here's the church and here's the steeple, open the doors, that sometimes the people are way out here doing other things and finding other ways to serve God. And that is really cool too, because it's the people who really make the church. I hope that you have a lot of fun this week, and I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Please join me in a time of silent prayer as we bring our personal cares and concerns to the Lord. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, you are great and powerful, and all things can be accomplished through you. You have a plan for our lives. If only we ask you, help us to fulfill it. We ask that you show us your plan and enrich us and give us the power to fulfill it in the way we live our lives every day and the people we touch. We are so thankful, Father, for the many blessings you've given us. For our family, for our health, for our church, for our community, for the people we interact with every day. Help us to make a difference in their lives as we exhibit Christ in the way we live our life and the way we interact with people. There are many concerns in our church, Father. We ask you to be with every one of them. Where healing is needed, we ask that you give it. Where love is needed, help us to show your love to other people. Where we need encouragement, Lord, we know if we only turn to you, you will provide it. You are the great I am. You are always there for us in our time of need, if only we turn and ask. You never desert us. You never leave us. Father, we ask to be at our church, that we can make a real difference in our community. We're so thankful for the return of in-person services. Even though the number of people attending is limited at this point, at least our doors are open to visitors who are not a member of our congregation, but need your healing touch, who need your care, your love. As they come into our building, we ask that we each individually make the effort to show your love to them, to let them know that they're welcome, to let them know that you love them, no matter what they've done in the past, no matter what their needs are, that you are there to help them. Father, help us to be better Christians. Help us to exhibit your love in everything that we do, everyone that we touch. We say a special prayer this morning, Father, for our ministerial staff, as they lead us in worship and have over the past year in a remote setting. Enrich their lives. Help them to know that we support them in all that they do. We're thankful for what they mean to us individually and as a church. As through their singing, through their guidance and our worship services, through the message that Chrissy brings each week, we are better people because of that. If only we listen and let you help guide us and interpret those words in a manner that will make us better Christians. Father, we ask you to be with everyone who's not in the service today, to lay a burden on their heart. This is something they need in their life, that you are something that they need. Help them to come to us, no matter where they are in the country, and experience your love through our worship services. Father, be us as we go out in the community this week. There are many people hurting in the community. We read more and more violence in the news every morning and evening. We ask that you give people your love and show them the way that only through you can we conquer the things of the world and experience the world as you want us to see it. We ask all these things in your name. Please bless us, O Lord. Amen.
I will be reading Acts 4, verses 1 through 12. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed we did to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This year, as Earth Day nears, I find myself more grateful than ever before for the gift of God's beautiful creation. Because of all the pandemic interruptions over the last 12 months, to our overly chaotic schedules, I, like so many others, have found myself paying more attention to the rhythms of nature. Without the morning rush to get everybody fed and off to work and school, those morning jogs and walks have been able to start a little bit later and linger a little bit longer, allowing me and any other open-eyed person to notice changing sight lines as autumn leaves turned their magnificent colors and then fell to the ground. And then, just as the cold of winter started to turn into spring, buds burst forth, boasting shades of pinks and yellows and whites and greens, shades that might have gone unnoticed without the forced slowdown, without the working from home, without the abrupt change to our busy schedules. In many ways, the earth itself has become a healing balm during the last year. I know from personal experience and from conversations with many of you that just stepping outdoors, no matter the season, was a lifeline, saving us from the monotony of Zoom conferences and telephone calls and computer screens that we would spend our days looking at. So in many ways, Earth Day seems right on time this year. It arrives as we are becoming tempted to fill our days back up, stacked with meetings, tasks, dinner dates, and appointments. Earth Day arrives right on time this year as an invitation for us to pause and to give thanks for the gift of creation. And perhaps also Earth Day arrives right on time as an invitation for us to reserve some space in our calendars before those days get too full once again, too full for us to slow down and get outside. One thing I've learned as this year has allowed more time outdoors is that nature seems to always have a spiritual lesson if I am open to it and if I'm able to slow down long enough to notice it. Last year, as the weather started to cool off a bit, the summer flowers had exhausted all their blooms and leaves were beginning to fall, I decided to dig up some hostas that were growing in front of the house. Now, don't get me wrong, I love hostas, but they were growing right next to the driveway, and at the height of their season, it was difficult to get in and out of the car without stepping on them or without closing one of those flowering stems in the car door itself. So I decided to wait the season out and dig them up and move them to the backyard. I carefully traced the plant leaves to the roots, and I dug up all the roots, working hard to treat them gently and to keep them as intact as possible. This was a lot of work. I don't know if you've ever tried to dig up hostas, but they are resilient little plants with stubborn roots. So when the project was done, I was awfully proud of myself. I filled in the ground where I dug up the plants so there wouldn't be any ditches, and I covered it with mulch so it blended in with the rest of the area. I found the perfect spot in the backyard, and I placed the hostas there, burying the roots with good soil and stepping back with great anticipation thinking about what they would look like this spring, when they were reborn, so to speak, in their new location. The cool air of fall quickly turned to winter as I watched that ground and waited. And just a few weeks ago, as winter faded into spring, I watched more closely, surveying the ground for the first shoots of hosta that would push through the ground. At the same time, I would remember their old location next to the driveway out front, and I would appreciate the new space that I had each and every time I loaded and unloaded the car without a plant to avoid or a stem to close in the door. Eventually, the first signs of life shot up through the ground in the backyard, and I got so excited. I would bring Mia and Justin out there to show them, and they weren't as thrilled as I was, but they politely obliged. But just as my excitement grew watching those hostas emerge from their winter sleep in their new backyard soil, I noticed something strange was happening in the front yard, in their old spot. Hostas were popping up there too, in the old spot next to the driveway where I had meticulously dug up roots months and months before. There they were, resilient little plants springing back to life, almost as full as they were last year, as if I hadn't dug anything up at all. It never fails to amaze me how the rhythms of nature so often remind me and us of how God works and how God is working now in our lives. For so many of us, this year has been a season of uprooting, of transplanting, and starting again in new locations or under new circumstances. Whether the uprooting has happened at work or at home, in our social lives or in our private lives, everything feels different now. Many of these changes have us trying to adapt to new soil. Roots that once felt deep and connected have been dug up and replanted, leaving us wondering how they will ever grow in this new ground. Like the crowds who pressed in on Peter and John as the earliest Christians gathered in Jerusalem, we have more questions than answers in this new location. How will we live like this? How is this whole thing going to work? Will it ever feel the same again? Of course, their circumstances were a little different from ours. It was 2,000 years ago, and they were trying to revive the mission after the Roman authorities, in cahoots with religious institutional leadership, had crucified Jesus in an effort to squash the movement. They thought if they could just kill the leader in a public display that the followers would heed the message, and maybe that would be the end of it. The end of Jesus' idea that the sick could all be healed and the powerless empowered, that the oppressed could be freed. After all, that idea, that kind of liberation, it threatened everything that upheld the Roman way. Jesus' message tore at the roots of the Roman way of life. It didn't fit in with the status quo and required a reimagination of all conventional wisdom. But like those resilient hostas that refused to be removed, the work of the Spirit continued to grow amongst the believers in Jerusalem. Quoting from an ancient psalm, Peter says to the crowds in Acts chapter 4, "The stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone." That movement of healing and liberation that you tried to stamp out and remove by crucifying Jesus, it has become the very foundation of the movement. What you thought would end it once and for all only multiplied our efforts and gave new life to the resurrecting power of God's Holy Spirit. For some time now, we, you and I, have been rooted in a common, comfortable soil. Our pre-pandemic lives were predictable and steady and busy and productive. But now all that has changed, and not just because of the pandemic. During our time apart, we have all become new creatures, new and different from who we were before. We have been changed by unique challenges and opportunities that have come our way, some invited and some not. All of our important relationships feel different. Our spiritual practices have evolved. We are new beings. We've been uprooted and replanted in the patterns that have developed in this new soil of ours. These patterns are teaching us about how we might be reborn on the other side of this big ordeal. In some ways, we have been called back to the foundation. We've been called back to the foundation, and we have dug down to the cornerstone, and we are rebuilding it from there. We're starting again. For us as Christians, I think this might be the biggest gift we have ever received. With thousands of years of history separating us from the life of Jesus, with hundreds of years of tradition tying us to practices that used to reflect faith, over time began to look more like status quo. With 36 years as a church, we have built some good structures on top of that foundational stone, that cornerstone, and perhaps it was and is time for us to re-examine them all, to consider the cornerstone, and to allow the Holy Spirit to grow something new in our church, in our lives. Like those resilient hostas, there will be resurrection in this new soil. I can see it happening already as Sunday school classes gather together online without geographic restrictions, allowing folks to join from the beach, from the lake, and from the mountains. I can see it when I walk our campus and look at the earth art displays reminding us of God's blessing of creation. I can see it as we reimagine worship for online and in-person audiences. Who would have imagined sprouts like this? And like those resilient hostas, there is still resurrection coming up in that old soil. Even when we thought it was all gone, dug up, removed, and replanted. The Holy Spirit is still firmly rooted and beginning to spring back to life in this sanctuary, in our collaboration with important local partners like Welcome House Ministry and Refugee Hope Partners and food pantries all around town. Yes, there is new life bursting forth in old and new soil. And yes, like those resilient hostas, we have been divided and replanted in soils of the past, present, and future. And we continue to be surprised and delighted by the new sprouts that are bursting forth in all kinds of surprising places. Can you see them? Perhaps we needed this season of disruption to remind us of our resilient roots, planted in the ground of God's love and nurtured to new life by the creative power of the Holy Spirit to help us remember, rediscover, and resurrect the gospel of Jesus Christ here and now. And so perhaps for that creative power of the Holy Spirit, we might need to simply make the time to open our eyes, to step outside, to give thanks for all that is coming to life around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Come see, let your heart be set on fire, and go tell, add your voice now to the choir. Join us as we sound the invitation to work to bring about a new creation. Here we are answering our call, every member equipped to bring light and hope to all. We will bring God's reign near, and in the love of Christ be led, doing the word, making it heard. And all are welcome here, table and be fed from near and far. Come as you are. Here you will never be alone. In the glory of God, we're building a church of living souls. Up your mind to transformation that offers justice, peace, and liberation. Growing as we honor our tradition, together we'll move forward in our mission. Here we are answering our call. Every member equipped to bring light and hope to all. We will bring God's ring near, and in the love of Christ be led, doing the word, making it heard. And all are welcome here, come to the table and be fed from near and far. Come as you are. Here you will never be alone. In the glory of God, we're building a church of living souls.
Now let's take a moment to see what's going on at Greystone this week. The Leadership Council will meet this afternoon at 4 p.m. on Zoom. You can find the link to that meeting in the Greystone Weekly, which was emailed this past Thursday. Our youth will meet in person and outdoors today at 5 p.m. in the Lead Mine parking lot. Next Wednesday, April 21st, we will have the first of three Wednesday night sessions to discuss the Two Popes series currently streaming on Netflix. That will be on Zoom, beginning at 6:30 p.m., led by Pastor Chrissy. An update from Donnie Moorfield of our Deacon Nominating Committee. The Deacon Nominating Committee has decided to extend the deadline for deacon nominations until Sunday, May 2nd. This extension will allow more members to participate in the process and ensure that every voice is heard. The diaconate is a key group in the life and mission of Greystone Baptist Church. Nominating and affirming our deacons requires our members to prayerfully seek out those worthy of service in this ministry and then nominate them for consideration. Completed nomination forms should be submitted by noon on Sunday, May 2nd. One of three ways, filling out the online form that can be accessed through the email you received earlier, or by dropping a completed paper nomination form in the ballot box located in the covered breezeway of the main entrance on the sawmill side, or by submitting a completed paper nomination form at one of the in-person services. Also, please be aware that we will continue to need two volunteers each Sunday to greet worshipers as they arrive for the in-person worship service at Greystone. If you're planning to attend those services and are willing to volunteer, there is a sign-up link in the latest Greystone Weekly. Also, please check our weekly emails and our website for other announcements and ongoing activities.
As you leave this time of worship and go back to your everyday lives, lives that may feel rooted in old soil or new soil or maybe somewhere in between, go forth with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your feet and walk with them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.